Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for letting us gather today, again in freedom, to worship you, to sing and praise to you, to hear your word, to learn more about you, and to become closer to you, and to be filled up even more with your Holy Spirit. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've talked about many things that Jesus has told us to do over the summer. I started out with the two greatest commandments, love God and love others. Then we talked about go forth and make disciples of all nations. Jesus told us to do that. Then we talked about unity in the church. Jesus told us to do that. And today we're going to talk about the severity of sin. And as Christians, are we living the life we claim to be? Are we living a life that, as Paul talked about, is not pleasing to God, as the song talked about, is not a life song to Jesus? I told you earlier, there was a show on TV this last fall. It got canceled already. It was just a 30-minute sitcom, and it was called Living Biblically. The plot was husband and wife, neither one were believers. The man came to Christ and decided he'd live his life word for word in the Bible, Old Testament and New. So it was kind of funny, and it's, you know, if you think about that, could we really live our life word for word? Maybe, we probably could, but of course, you know, some of the things in the Old Testament you wouldn't want to do, like one of his co-workers was having an affair, so he picked up a rock and threw it on the guy's head, you know. I'd be like, what are you doing? You can't stone, well, that's what it says, you know, stone the adulterer. So, I mean, it was funny, but can we really do that, and do we try to do that? Or do we come to church and sit here and show everyone around us that we're Christian? Do we say we're Christian people, but then our life shows something else? And people say, well, that's what a Christian does? Jesus today, I mean, he's talking totally radical, I think. First time I heard that verse, before I knew anything about it, before I was even a full believer, cut your hand off, cut your foot off, gouge your eye out. That's what, you know, that's what he wants us to do. Well, when I worked at the prison for 32 years, one day we had a cold call, which was an emergency. An inmate, who I believe he was a sex offender, had gotten into the Bible and had read those words. And he took them literal. And so he gouged his own eye out. So I thought, wow, that's pretty brutal. I mean, if that's what Jesus wants you to do, that's crazy, right? Tear your own eye out. So I just felt led to pray on this verse. But the first thing I want to ask all of us, me included, is what's in our life? What's in our life that we do that we shouldn't? And it doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're just a layperson. It doesn't matter what you are. All of us can be tempted. I know at least two pastors personally who have had addictions to porn. So it doesn't matter who you are. The question is, what are you coveting? What do you want in your life? What do you do when you go home from church and you turn your computer on? And what do you do when you're out and about with your friends and they say, let's go to this place and have some fun? And all of us can be tempted. All of us can fall. That's really what today is talking about. It's very strong language. And as we go through the verses, you're going to see just how strong it is. Just the importance that is being put on to stay sin-free by Jesus. The importance of not falling into sin, of not living that double life where I go to church, I'm a Christian, I even pray, but then I go to my computer and I watch all this crap. Or I go to this place where I shouldn't go. I know it's not a good place, what's going on there, but I go there because my friends want me to go there, because I enjoy it, whatever it might be. So let's get into the scriptures. We don't have a lot of time with Communion Sunday, but I want to read them, and I want to explain to you what exactly is being said here. We start in Isaiah. It's just the last verse. It says, "And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me, for their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." what's going on in Isaiah in that verse is that the Assyrian army, if you go back to verse 30, 33, 31 to 33, God tells that the Assyrian army will be destroyed. And it'll be destroyed in the Valley of Hinnom. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, the Valley of Hinnom is a small valley that sits southwest, I believe, of Jerusalem. And it's really, it's considered kind of a, it's, it was an awful place. It's abhorred by the Israelites. Because it is a place where God destroys his enemy. And here the army was so big that it, you know, the worms will be eating for a long time. And they also burn the bodies. If they buried them, the worms got them. If they burned them, then the fire consumed them. But it doesn't say it'll ever go out. So it is referring to hell, which is Gehenna in Greek and Gehinnom in Hebrew. So that valley, the Valley of Hinnom, is that's the first part of that, is that the army was destroyed there. And there were so many bodies that fires and burned for a long time. But that's also the valley where some of the Israelites worshipped the false god of Moloch. And they built, apparently, a big brass or metal idol. And they felt led to go to that valley and give offering to their god, Moloch. And they did that by burning their children alive. So that valley has quite a history. So the fires were burning children in that valley. Well, then when King Josiah came into power, the people said, that's an awful place. There's still some of the idols are still there that were built. So King Josiah went there, and he destroyed the idols, and he also polluted the land. He put human bones down in the land, so nobody wanted to go there to use it. Well, now it's polluted, so it became the city dump for Jerusalem. So the city of Jerusalem put all their filth, all their garbage, all their dead animals went there. And how do you get rid of garbage? You burn it, right? So the fires burned constantly in that valley. But again, it doesn't say they ever went out. So there is a reference here to hell. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. So then we go on to the, let's go to what Jesus said. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it's better to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell. And the same with your, to go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And the same with your foot. The same with your eye. Tear it out. It is better to go with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. Then he says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Just a side note about hell. I preached on that over the summer. This is another way of Jesus telling us there's no escape from hell. He doesn't say where their worm might be full, where the fire might go out. He says where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. We make a choice here on this earth in our lifetime, and that's a permanent choice. There is no escape if you choose the path of hell. So what is he really saying? He's not saying. He's overstating it. He wants to make a point. This is pretty important. It's so important that he's telling them, cut off your hand. Cut off your foot. Tear out your eye. That's how important it is not to sin. But what he's really saying is, remove sin from your life. If you go to your computer, and you can't stop going to your computer and going to those sites, get rid of the computer. Because the computer has become your idol. Like those people in the valley who were burning their children to a false metal god. You go to your computer every day, and you're sitting down there, and you're sinning against God. If you're going to a bar or whatever where there's things going on that shouldn't be going on, and you're going there, and you can't stop going there, cut off those friends if they're saying, come on, we're going to go again, let's go. This Friday night, we're all going there. He's saying, there's nothing more important than staying with Jesus. There's nothing worse than turning away from Jesus. And nothing is more dear, or should be more dear to any of us, than Jesus. So if we have to tell a friend, "I'm sorry, but in your current lifestyle, I cannot go with you. In your current lifestyle, I cannot come to your wedding and celebrate with you because what you're doing is a sin against God. And if I come there, I am saying, I'm stamping that as okay. And that doesn't make God happy that I'm willing to go and stamp something okay. I can say, well, I'm not here because I really believe it, God, but I came because my buddy told me to come or I was invited." No, we have to cut those friendships off. Somebody in our family is causing us to sin. We have to gouge out our eye, cut off our hand, cut off our foot. Now, another way to look at that is Jesus knows that what? Our eyes can be lustful. So he's saying the eye is dangerous to us because we might see something we want. Oh, I like that. And how do I get there? By my feet. So my eye will see it, my feet will take me there. And how do I get it? With my hand. So I'm filled with lust for something, for anything, whatever it is. I see it, I go to it, and I touch it, I grab it. So our eyes and our hands and our feet, we need to keep them under control. We can't let them lead us. The other thing is, if you go historically, it was a rural population, and of course, farming or even as a laborer, most injuries occur to your hands, your eyes, and your feet. So it's very relatable to the people he's talking to. They know how important their hands and feet and eyes are to their livelihood. But again, if whatever's in our life, if it's leading us to sin, we are coveting it, and that is a form of idolatry. And we have to stop that. And if it means cutting off friendships, cutting off with a family member, not doesn't be permanent, but you have to cut it off so you're not being led to sin. Getting rid of our computer, cutting the cord off the back of it, whatever. That's what we have to do. There is no compromise, okay? People, there's no compromise. We can't live in the world of God and you know, being a Christian and then wanna, you know, once in a while step over to the world's ways. That doesn't work. You're all in for Christ, or you're not. That's it. You are or you aren't. If you're not, you should get there where you are and pray to God. Ask him to show you the way to be filled up with him, his word, his son, and the Holy Spirit, and he will move you closer. He did me. I pray that all the time. I still pray that. I want to be closer. Whatever I'm doing, make me stop it. Help me stop it. Whatever the world's doing to me, help me get around those blockades of the world, of the peer pressure, of the media, of my friends, whatever it is. Today I titled the sermon, Jesus Says. When I was a kid, I used to love a game. We played it when I was an Indian guys and at camps. Somebody would say, "We're going to play Simon Says." And we'd all get up front there, kids, you know, and Simon says, you know, step forward. Simon says, step left, you know, whatever. Simon says, put your hand on your head. But then they would say it without saying, "Simon, put your hand on your head. You're out, Kobe." Why? Because I didn't say Simon says. Well, we should be playing Jesus says. Because if we're not playing Jesus says, then we're playing the enemy says. Because the enemy loves to tell us what to do. To say, it's okay to watch that on the computer. Nobody can see you, right? It's okay to go to that club with your friends just this one time because, just going to have a good time. It's okay to do this or that or say that or, you know, but it's not. That's the game of Jesus says. And when you don't hear Jesus saying it, when you hear, I think I should go to that site on the computer, did I hear Jesus says? And if you didn't hear that, just like the game of Simon says, then don't do it. Don't do it. And we'll finish up in Paul here quickly with Paul in Ephesians. This is Paul writing to the church. And I thought this really fit nice with kind of fleshing out what Jesus is saying by simply saying, cut off your hand, you know, cut off your foot. Paul's talking to the church. Let there be no filthiness No foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. See, because if we're thankful for what we have, we're not going to covet. If I'm thankful for my wife, really thankful for her, why would I covet another woman? If I'm okay with how much money I have, the house I have, the job I have, if I say to God, thank you, Father, for my life, thank you for my wife, thank you for my house, thank you for my health, thank you for everything, thank you for my children, my grandchildren, then I don't have to want what somebody else has. If I'm truly can be thankful, ask, tell God I'll thank you, and see how blessed you are for what you have. Because in thanksgiving, giving thanks to God holds the lust and being and you know wanting to cover things, holds it at bay, keeps it away from you. If we're falling in with the world, talking foolish, filthiness, crude joking, the enemy loves that, because now he's got the door open in our life, and we can move a little closer to the world's way. Then he says, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral and impure, or is covetous, and that's idolatry, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And in this world, in our country, this is not verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And that's a Hebrew phrase. And those were people who they saw living for the devil and not living for Jesus or not living for God. Sons of disobedience. Those out in the world that are living, saying it's okay, do what you want. They're living for the enemy. They're not living for God. It says, and then it says, therefore do not become partners with them. Doesn't say have no contact. Shine your light. Shine it bright. I preach that. Shine the light. If it's hidden, it does no good. But don't become partners with them. Don't buy into what they're doing. As a Christian, humbly, lovingly, with grace and mercy, tell them about Jesus. Tell them that their lifestyle isn't right. But don't get beside them and say, it's okay, it's all right, I can understand, everything's fine, just go ahead, because God just loves you. That's being partners with them. That we can't do. Why? Because for at one time, we were all in darkness. Now we're in the light of the Lord. And we need to walk as children of light. Verse 10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. We should be asking God. I do. I pray, Father, I want to please you. Keep showing me what you want me to do, how you want me to please you. Let your Holy Spirit guide me, that what I do is pleasing to you and is kingdom building for you. Not for me, not for this world, but for you. We have to ask for spiritual discernment and wisdom. Then again, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness. No part. Doesn't say you can go to that wedding, you can go to that bar, you can go on. It says take no part. That means zip, zilch, none, nada. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But expose those things to the light. Again, your light, his light. Expose the darkness. And then he finishes up with, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And they think Paul took that. There's no Old Testament verse that fits that exactly, but they think he took that from Isaiah 60, verse 1. So what is it in your life that you should gouge out or cut off? I'm sure everybody has that something. Everybody may have something now, somebody now, and some of you may have things in the future. We're human, flesh and blood. We're imperfect. We all make mistakes. We fall. He's not talking about the occasional sin. He's talking about habitual sin. The thing we are doing that we know is wrong, but we do it because of lust, because we covet it. Those are the things we have to cut out of our life. No matter who they are or what they are. And let's all start playing the game Jesus says, like we used to play Simon Says as kids. And let's only do what Jesus says. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, you know the attack we're under. Every day as Christians. Today, Father, you saw I'm sure you know the attack on our vice president. Saying now that Christians are Christian supremacists. That's the new term for us, Father. They find a way to attack us, to put us down, Father, all the time. And it should be that way. And Father, I love the vice president's response. This is an honor that he's proud to be under attack for his faith, Father. And he's going to pray for those people. Give us that strength, Father. Give us that courage. Give us that grace and mercy for everyone, even our enemies, to shine your light, Father. Guide our lives. Help us be part of your kingdom and part of growing your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.